Country Online
host of Democracy Now. For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Spot market is very tricky. I was watching it, but if you look at it now, it's beautiful. The bond market right now is beautiful. But yeah, I saw last night where people were getting a little queasy.
Hours after President Trump imposed tariffs on much of the world, provoking global outrage, he reversed course. Back down on his global trade war, with one major exception, China. While Trump paused the latest tariffs for most countries for 90 days, he increased tariffs on Chinese imports to 125%. We'll speak to two economists, Nancy Chen at Northwestern University, and the Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz at Columbia. Plus, we look at President Trump's latest threats to bomb Iran just days before the U.S. and Iran hold talks in Oman. And we speak to Holocaust scholar, Columbia professor Marianne Hirsch. She recently wrote a piece headlined, "I Grew Up Under a Terrifying Authoritarian Regime. Mahmoud Khalil's arrest is right out of their playbook." All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The European Union's just announced it's pausing retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. one day after Trump abruptly lowered his so-called reciprocal tariffs on most countries for 90 days, just hours after they took effect Wednesday. Most U.S. trading partners will now see a blanket 10% tariff in addition to the previously imposed 25% tariffs on cars, steel and aluminum. But China was not spared in Trump's sudden U-turn. Beijing now faces a hiked-up total tariff of 125% in retaliation for Beijing enacting an 84% levy on U.S. goods Wednesday. Markets rallied following the announcement after days in free fall. Trump told reporters he made the decision to halt the tariffs yesterday morning because people were, quote, getting a little bit yippy. But Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent claimed the move was part of Trump's larger plan to create maximum negotiating leverage.
It took great courage for him to stay the course until this moment. And what we have ended up with here, as I told everyone a week ago, they're in this very spot. Do not retaliate, and you will be rewarded.
Earlier on Wednesday, House Republicans deployed a rare procedural maneuver to block a Democratic measure that sought to force a vote on repealing Trump's tariffs by challenging his national emergency powers. We'll have the latest on Trump's tariffs after headlines with the Nobel Prize-winning economist Joe Stiglitz and the Northwestern economist Nancy Chen. The Palestinian Health Ministry says the death toll from an Israeli missile attack Wednesday on Gaza City's Shujaiya neighborhood has killed at least 35 people, with a death toll expected to rise. At least 55 people are wounded and as many as 80 others still trapped under the rubble. Victims, including children, some of them torn to pieces as multiple missiles struck a residential block where Israel later claimed a senior Hamas fighter was staying without naming them or providing evidence. The killings came as Haaretz reported Israel's army is preparing to incorporate the southern city of Rafah and surrounding neighborhoods into a buffer zone along Gaza's border. Rafah comprises about 17% of Gaza's territory. Before October 2023, it was home to some 200,000 Palestinians. It's now largely deserted after Israel in late March once again ordered the mass expulsion of the residents of Rafah. Nearly 40 days after Israel shattered the ceasefire and reimposed a near-total blockade on aid shipments, prices for food, fuel, medicine, and other essential goods are skyrocketing in Gaza. The UN says 60,000 children are at risk of malnutrition, with people forced to forage for food as community kitchens run out of food.
I swear to God, if we don't die from airstrikes, we will die of hunger. We are not safe. The whole world, listen to us. We are really not safe. We move from one soup kitchen to another with danger. I swear to God, they are striking everywhere. If I don't die in these strikes, I will die of hunger with my children. What shall we do? Where shall we go? Look at us. Find us a solution. We've been in this torture for a year and a half. We are tired.
French President Emmanuel Macron said in an interview this week with that France might soon formally recognize a Palestinian state, with a decision expected in June. Meanwhile, the United States Senate Wednesday confirmed former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee as U.S. ambassador to Israel. Huckabee is a far-right Christian Zionist who's openly advocated for Israel's annexation of Palestinian lands and has said, quote, there's really no such thing as a Palestinian, unquote. Yemen's Houthis say U.S. airstrikes overnight killed three people in the rebel-held Yemeni capital Sana'a. The strikes follow a U.S. attack Tuesday on the port city of Hodeidah that reportedly killed 13 people and injured 15 others. Houthi officials said most of the dead were women and children. The U.S. has been carrying out near-daily strikes on Yemen's Iran-backed Houthis since March 15th. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has levied new sanctions against Iran, targeting its uranium enrichment program. The ratcheted-up sanctions come ahead of negotiations over Iran's nuclear program scheduled to take place in Oman on Saturday. This week, President Trump threatened that if the talks don't go well, quote, Iran is going to be in great danger. We'll have more on Iran later in the broadcast. The Trump administration says its reverse cuts in emergency food aid to several nations after the World Food Program blasted the cuts as a death sentence for millions of people facing extreme hunger and starvation. USAID Acting Deputy Administrator Jeremy Lewin, a member of Elon Musk's Doge team, reportedly ordered staff to resume assistance to the World Food Program in Lebanon, Syria, Somalia, Jordan, Iraq, and Ecuador. But those countries do not include Afghanistan and Yemen, two countries with dire humanitarian situations that have been ravaged by U.S. intervention. In related news, the nonprofit Save the Children says eight people in South Sudan, including five children, died last month as they were forced to walk for 3 hours to seek medical care for cholera after U.S. aid cuts shuttered local health services. South Sudan's grappling with a worsening political crisis, which has stoked fears of a renewed civil war. Federal judges in Texas and New York have temporarily blocked the removal of U.S. residents under the Alien Enemies Act, an 18th century wartime law invoked by President Trump to fast track the expulsion of immigrants he's accused of being gang members. Both judges said any targets for removal must be able to have their cases heard in court. Trump expelled 238 people from the U.S. without due process in March, the vast majority from Venezuela. They've effectively disappeared into El Salvador's notorious megaprison, SECAT. Despite the Trump administration's claims it's targeting violent criminals, data shows 90% of those removed in last month's flight had no criminal record. In Venezuela, families of the removed individuals rallied outside a UN office in Caracas to call for the release of their loved ones.
I want to ask with my heart and my hands for them to give us back our children. We Venezuelans are very united. Our priority is our family. If we are missing one, we are missing everything. That is the only thing we need. Please give us back our children.
The Trump administration Wednesday said it's looking into a possible legal pathway to transfer U.S. citizens to El Salvador's notorious SECAT prison. In other immigration news, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services says it started screening social media activity of immigrants for evidence of so-called anti-Semitic activity that could be used to deny benefits, including permanent residency status. Jewish groups spoke out against the new policy. The group Bend the Ark Jewish Action says it's, quote, using Jews as an excuse to move a cruel anti-immigrant authoritarian agenda, unquote. The pro-Israel group J Street said, quote, the fight against anti-Semitism won't be advanced by attacks on 250-year-old cherished American rights like free speech, unquote. Germany's incoming Chancellor Friedrich Merz announced on Wednesday his center-right Christian Democratic Union made a deal to form a governing coalition with the center-left Social Democrats. The deal shuts out the extreme-right party Alternative for Germany, which had come in second place in February elections. He said Germany would boost its military spending and vowed to enact more hardline immigration policies.
As for migration, we will pursue a new approach. We will better organize and steer, and we will all but end illegal migration. There will be border checks and rejections of asylum requests. We will start a deportation program.
Doctors Without Borders is calling for immediate action after identifying cases of malnourished children in an asylum seeker camp on the Greek island of Samos. The group said six children from Syria and Afghanistan between the ages of 6 months and 6 years had been diagnosed with acute malnutrition and required urgent care. A quarter of the camp's residents are children. Mexico's demanding the United States respect its national sovereignty after NBC News reported President Trump is considering drone strikes on Mexican drug cartels. President Claudia Sheinbaum spoke Tuesday.
We reject any of these actions, and we also do not believe they will occur, because there is a lot of dialogue on security issues and many other topics. So no, not in Mexico.
House Speaker Mike Johnson delayed a vote Wednesday on a Trump and Senate-approved budget framework after he failed to gain sufficient support from his Republican caucus. House Republicans want to enact $2 trillion in spending cuts to offset tax cuts for the very wealthiest. Democrats oppose the budget. This is Massachusetts Congressmember Jim McGovern.
It is a budget that will hurt working families. It is a budget that will especially hurt families who are struggling in poverty. Republicans have succeeded in putting together a Marie Antoinette budget, helping the richest of the rich while hurting the poorest of the poor. Let them eat cake. That is the Republican motto. And I've never seen such cruelty contained in a budget in all my years here.
President Trump has instructed the Justice Department to stop the enforcement of state climate laws. Trump's sweeping executive order seeks to gut California's cap and trade program to limit carbon emissions, as well as climate superfund laws like New York and Vermont's requirement that major fossil fuel companies help cover the costs of extreme weather events. In a statement, the climate action group, the Sunrise Movement, said, quote, this is corruption at its most blatant. Last spring, Trump told oil and gas billionaires that if they gave his campaign $1 billion, he would do their bidding. The money flowed, and now they're cashing in, they said. And in related news, Trump has signed several executive orders seeking to boost U.S. coal production and consumption, declaring, quote, we're bringing back an industry that was abandoned, unquote. The United Nations has called the continued burning of coal and other fossil fuels incompatible with human survival. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, hours after President Trump imposed tariffs on much of the world, he reversed course and backed down on his global trade war, with one major exception, China. We'll have more on this with two leading economists. Stay with us. I got handed an Ayn Rand sandwich straight from the can. It tasted so bland. I asked a lass to pass me a glass of Engels Conditions of the Working Class. Right away they dragged me to the committee to explain my un-American activity. They're gonna see they made a mistake if they'd only let me play my mixtape. I'm not partial to the marshal or the plutocrats in their beat. Communists Have the Music by They Might Be Giants. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Nermeen, before we begin, I shared our condolences with our global audience a few weeks ago when your dad passed. We all mourn the loss of Najmuddin Sheikh, the former foreign minister of Foreign Secretary of Pakistan, and our condolences to you and your family.
Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you, Amy, and to everyone at Democracy Now! For your support in these last weeks. Global stock markets surged on Wednesday after President Trump announced a 90-day pause on sweeping new tariffs for most countries, while at the same time escalating the U.S. trade war with China. Trump raised tariffs on China to 125% after China increased tariffs on U.S. goods to 84% following the Trump administration's initial tariff increases. China has also taken other retaliatory actions, including new restrictions on rare earth exports to the U.S. As for most of the rest of the world, a 10% tariff remains in place, but the more sweeping tariffs were paused just hours after going into effect. Global stock markets had been tumbling ever since Trump announced the new tariffs on April 2nd, on what he called Liberation Day.
The Trump administration's given conflicting accounts as to why Trump reversed course. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said it was Trump's, quote, strategy all along. But Trump himself openly admitted he was concerned about the unraveling of the U.S. bond market.
Bond market is very tricky. I was watching it, but if you look at it now, it's beautiful. The bond market right now is beautiful. I saw last night where people were getting a little queasy. I think everything had... the big move wasn't what I did today. The big move was what I did on Liberation Day.
On Wednesday, the S&P 500 soared 9.5% and the Nasdaq jumped over 12% after Trump made his announcements about the tariff pause in a post on Truth Social just before 1:30 p.m. Earlier in the day, Trump wrote, quote, "This is a great time to buy DJT." Democratic Senator Adam Schiff is now calling on Congress to determine whether the Trump administration engaged in insider trading or market manipulation. Bloomberg is reporting the world's richest people added $304 billion to their combined net worth on Wednesday, the largest one-day gain in the history of the Bloomberg Billionaires Index.
We're joined now by two guests. From Rome, Italy, Nancy Chen is with us. She's a professor of economics at Northwestern University, co-director of Northwestern University's Global Poverty Research Lab, founding director of the China Econ Lab. Her latest piece for Project Syndicate is headlined, "Americans Can't Win from Trump's Trade War." Joseph Stiglitz is with us in studio here in New York, Nobel Prize-winning economist, Columbia University professor, former chair of the Council of Economic Advisers. Professor Stiglitz is also currently the chief economist of the Roosevelt Institute. His latest book, The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Professor Stiglitz, let's begin with you. Just overall respond to this roller coaster. And if anyone has any doubt that global outcry matters and protests around the globe make a difference, like what happened this weekend, well, just take a look at what happened yesterday. Can you talk about, Professor Stiglitz, your response?
There's been total chaos. And one of the things that we know is that chaos is bad for the market. But there's been already lasting damage. You know, for the last 80 years, we were trying to create a world where a borderless world, at least borders mattered less. Mm. All of a sudden, borders matter more. Mm. And it's not only borders with those you don't like, it's borders with our best friends in Canada. So this is a new world where every country has to ask a question that we never asked before. What is the extent of our national economic sovereignty? What will happen if some crazy person in another country, in the United States, for instance, would suddenly raise tariffs 20%, 10%, 20%, 50%, 100%? So there is no reliability in our relationships, whether with friend or not so friend. What is also clear is that Trump has no economic theory behind what he's doing. And I think that's most disturbing, both to me as an economist and to those who are on the other side in negotiations. I've talked to some of these people and they say, you know, we don't know how to negotiate because the other side is not a normal negotiator. You know, normally the other side knows what they want. There's a theory about how trade works. That's not true here. It's a different world. So let me give you an example. Trump thinks that trade deficits by themselves, and in particular trade deficits in goods, reflect somebody treating us unfairly. And it's based sort of on a premise that we are better than any other country, so people should be buying more goods from us than we are buying from them. It's absurd. The net magnitude of the multilateral trade deficit is just determined by the disparity between aggregate savings on the one hand and national savings and aggregate national demand investment on the other. And if savings goes down, then we'll have a bigger deficit. Now, his proposal to have a big tax cut, unfunded, is effectively a lowering of national savings. And that's going to make the multilateral trade deficit larger. Mm. Then you look at the microeconomics. I just want to mention, he makes a big difference between goods and services. But we are in the 21st century, not where we were in 1950. Services are the major part of our economy. Goods production, manufacturing, is 9-10%. What are important? Service sector, tourism, education, health. What is he doing to those sectors? Look what he's done in the last few weeks. He's devastated our education system. The way his border immigration people have treated those wanting to come into our country with valid passport, visas, has discouraged tourism. So he is hell-bent at hurting America's major export industry, tourism, and education. So he's making things just that much more worse in at the micro level and at the macro level.
So before I bring in Professor Nancy Chan, I wanted to ask you, you just said earlier that chaos is bad for the market, indisputable, but how do you explain, people are absolutely perplexed, we had that in the introduction as well, how is it that just as Trump declared a pause on these tariffs, the market soared, and not just soared, I mean, for the biggest daily gain since 2008, the S&P. What explains that?
Remember, the market had gone down enormously, almost into bear territory, in the two preceding days.
Yeah.
There is a lot of irrational exuberance at times in the market. My judgment is that they've made a mistake. And the reason I think there's a mistake is the importance of trade with China in many ways is much larger than trade with Europe. That we depend enormously for goods coming from China.
Yeah.
You know, we buy cars from Europe. If we don't have the European cars, you know, we suffer a little bit, but it's not a big deal. If we don't have the ingredients that go into so many of our goods, or if those ingredients go up twice in price, that's a big disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anticipating that there will be actually a very big disturbance from these enormous, unprecedented, let me emphasize, unprecedented tariffs against China, and China's retaliation, including their restrictions on exports of minerals and rare earths that we need for our production.
Mm-hmm. So, Professor Nancy Chan, if we could get you to respond to the scale of these tariffs and what you think the impact on the Chinese economy and also the U.S. economy will be on these 125% that the U.S. has imposed on China and 84% that China has imposed on the U.S.
Like Professor Stiglitz said, these tariff rates are unprecedented. They are so high, it's really difficult for us to calibrate exactly what the cost will be on everyone, except that we know it's going to be enormous. You know, already we're seeing contracts that are being canceled between Chinese suppliers and American importers. Business relationships that took decades to build are now being paused because these tariffs are so high that no one can be profitable, can stay in business, and continue to import. And, you know, the thing about tariff rates is if you increase it a little bit, then maybe people can take the hit. By people, I mean, you know, the firms, the exporters and the importers. But if you increase it a lot and they can't meet their bottom line, then they just have to stop. And we've just never seen anything like this before. And what does it mean for the U.S. if we can't get parts from China? Mm-hmm. And also, what does it mean for China if they have to shut factories that are supporting families, you know, and children that were relying on these export jobs? So I think the cost for both economies is going to be colossal. We'll see a little bit of it in the short run. And if this continues, we're just going to see it exponentiate over time.
Let me ask you, Professor Chen, about the Treasury Secretary Bessent's comments when he said, you know, this was all planned. The question is, of course, was insider trading planned? Trump boasted yesterday the greatest increase in the stock market that the country it had ever seen. And, of course, the question is how these billionaires and perhaps, I can't say this, I know this, I don't know this, that Trump himself benefited yesterday as it rose, buying early. But Bessent's comment, you might even say Trump goaded China and they show themselves to be the bad actor that they are. Your comment, Professor Chen. I think we just lost Professor Chen in Rome, Italy, so we'll put that question to Professor Stiglitz.
Well, I don't think they anticipated this kind of response. The kind of language they used was a schoolyard bully. It was, they didn't show us respect. And, of course, China's view was U.S. broke international economic law. We have an international framework, the WTO, that is supposed to determine how countries determine trade policy. And we just threw that whole agreement that we played a key role in writing. We threw it in the dustpan. So the argument that, oh, he didn't show me respect is the kind of language you hear from bullies. I don't think we expected them to act so respondently. I was in China about 2 weeks ago, and it was very clear that they were ready for another round because they had seen how erratic Trump was. And there is a fundamental asymmetry that I think Trump and his team doesn't fully grasp. The asymmetry is that China will experience a deficiency in aggregate demand as they lose their exports. You can shift that demand to producing domestically, and they've been trying to do that for a number of years. And this is going to move much harder to shift supply. So we are in a tighter bind, I think, than China.
So Professor Chen is back with us. Professor Chen, that comment of the Treasury Secretary that this was all planned and that Trump successfully managed to goad China so that they would show themselves to be the bad actors that they are. And Vance's comment the day before referring to the Chinese peasants.
It's really hard to believe.